welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. This is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took to you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries are teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to know him and grow up in him and want to be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about the judgment seat of Christ." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." The word good in Strong's is number 18. It's a primary word meaning good in any sense. It means something beneficial or good things. The word bad in Strong's is number 2556. Again, a primary word meaning worthless. It refers to the effects it has, that is, subjectively depraved or injurious, evil or harmful, noisome or wicked. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment that every born-again saint will pass through following Christ. This is a positive judgment where Jesus is trying to reward you for being faithful to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 14. "If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Verse 15. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." There will be no time for any last-minute repentance. While you're still alive, God is faithful, and you can confess your sins and get back in his presence. You will get all the help you need now to make sure that what you are doing each day is directed by his Spirit. Led by the Spirit, you can be sure that what you're doing is intrinsically good. It's not worthless and has eternal value pleasing to God by faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. I'm reading Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not." Verse 19. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul described his flesh as having nothing good dwelling in it. So the carnal nature is not going to do anything of any eternal value that will please God. Paul also said in Romans 8 and verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." If you're born again, you can get ready for the judgment seat of Christ now because of what Jesus has done. He will help you get ready, even though he is the judge. He has provided the means for you to live in this life free from sin. Jesus paid the price for you to live in the Spirit, not live in the flesh. He provided the Holy Spirit for all those who are following him. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, verses 9 to 13, I'm reading. This is John chapter 16, I'm starting in verse 9. "Of sin, because they believe not on me." Verse 10. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more." Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the Holy Spirit is in you now, if you're born again. If you're following Christ, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and he can warn you of anything that may cause you harm or open a door to evil. God's protection comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there, even if you do not have a good example to follow. The Holy Spirit can tell you anything before it happens, including what issues you need to deal with now, and will appear in the judgment seat of Christ so you can repent beforehand. He will also direct you to paths of righteousness every day so you can live in meekness and see God provide. Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13. This is Titus chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is there for you to recognize sin, especially when the devil uses ways that seem right. Deny yourself daily and take up your cross, otherwise the devil gets access. As needed, confess your sin, and the Holy Spirit will also help you get to the root of sin. At the root of sin is a lie that you believe to be the truth. You believe that lie because you listen more to your own flesh than you did to the truth. James said in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. I'm reading James chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9 on the Importance of Lordship, on page 156, Joseph Hedgecott writes, stop making excuses. The Spirit of God lives in you, and he has the power to overcome anything Satan has to offer. Ask him to show you the reasons you move back into the flesh under certain circumstances. Add these details to your notebook as instructed in Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1. Processing each topic in the Spirit will set you free. God is not the problem. If you're listening to truth, you will get convicted, set free, and overcome. Only those on the broad way listen to the devil for the sake of their own flesh. James also said in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will he beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. If you're born again, you now have to resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit in order to get back in the flesh. Resisting conviction is not listening to God. God is faithful and wants you to become a new creature through a love for the truth. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto you, must be born again. Verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. In the book The Gilded Prism, revised edition, at the end of chapter 11, on How Do You Escape, on page 99, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Walking in the Spirit neutralizes Satan's traps and delivers you from the prisons of your flesh. You won't give place to the devil if you are led by the Spirit. Your flesh will be uncomfortable following Jesus, but it needs to die. If you walk in the Spirit consistently, the flesh will die. Through obedience to the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, your new nature will be energized following Christ. Once you start in the Spirit, there is no reason to go back to the flesh, trying to make it comfortable." Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Verse 13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Those unwilling to pay the price to kill the flesh die spiritually, following the dictates of the flesh. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, you will not fulfill your purpose on this earth. When Jesus is Lord of your life, you will not miss any divine appointments. This includes the first resurrection and being part of the bride of Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. This is Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 20. "For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." Verse 21. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Verse 22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You cannot just sin once and not become the servant of sin again. Sin is addictive, and you must deny yourself and take up your cross. Sin makes you weaker and leads to more sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 34 to 36. This is John chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 34. "And Jesus answered them, said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." Verse 35. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever." Verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Freedom is based on repentance from dead works, not just confessing your sin. Only by listening to the Holy Spirit will you not end up doing dead works again. Those following Christ use the Spirit of truth. You are privileged to have the Holy Spirit inside of you as a child of God. Truth is rare. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 10, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. "And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourges every son that he receives." Verse 7. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. So for what son is he of whom the Father chastens not?" Verse 8. "But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." Verse 9. "Wherefore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Verse 10. "For they verily for a few days chastened us, and after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." You only get chastened when you go back to serve sin. No one will be ready for the judgment seat of Christ without being submitted to Christ. This includes repentance. Conviction is a blessing. Chastening is not pleasant, but part of getting ready. Conviction lets you know sin is present based on a lie that you believe to be the truth. When you repent at the root, you are removing lies, changing your foundation. Through repentance, you let go of something temporal based on a lie that is making you comfortable in this world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be a yea and a nay and a nay? Verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you is not yea and nay. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Paul was not making judgments based on his opinions about others. His messages were not given in lightness either. Paul had to bring a strong correction to the Corinthian church, but made it clear that the answer was always yes, if someone was willing to submit to the Holy Spirit and repent deeply. David said in the Psalms 51 and verse 17, this is Psalms 51, reading verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Many assume that they are in Christ, but their lives are not changing. As you are chastened, you become like Jesus in every area. If you can abide, anything is possible, because all the promises are yes and amen in Christ. This transformation does not take place by visiting Christ, but by abiding in him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passé. Behold, all things have become new. Paul was not making judgments about brothers and sisters who had sinned against God. Paul just saw those who were changing and those who were not. The plan of salvation should have started in you already. Paul said in Romans 14, verses 10 to 12. This is Romans 14, I'm reading verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. For more information about judging others, please read chapter 13, Making Judgments, in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal things to come and wants you to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. You will notice that some challenges and lessons have to be repeated again and again until you repent deeply. The Holy Spirit is like the instructor sitting beside you in the car, teaching you how to drive your car in righteousness. He tells you what to do, and if you follow the instructions, you will pass your test. He wants you to be ready for his appearing. Do not be surprised if you experience a lot of conviction while he's getting you ready. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In the Amplified Bible, John 5:24 says, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words, who listens to my message, and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him who has sent me, possesses now eternal life. And he does not come into judgment, does not incur a sentence of judgment, will not come under condemnation, but he's already passed over, out of death into life. Those who pass from death to life are experiencing eternal life now, on the narrow way. There are 7 points in this verse taken from the Amplified Bible describing those who will not come into judgment. Number one, they have ears to hear his voice and do not listen to another voice. Number two, they listen to the teachings of Jesus and put them into practice. Number three, they believe in Jesus as a savior from hell and a savior from sin as well. Number four, they trust in him and do not lean to their own understanding. Number five, they cling to him and the work of the Holy Spirit. They rely on him for everything they need on the narrow way. Number seven, they have eternal life and are using this gift to get to know God now. You'll be ready for his appearing through repentance. When you repent deeply of something, you don't do it again. You will then appear at the judgment seat of Christ and pass easily because you have been repenting on the narrow way following Jesus. Jesus was speaking to the intellectual Jews in John chapter 10, verses 26 to 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he wants you to be part of his kingdom by being like a sheep following him. Only your attitude and motive is hindering you from what God wants to do through you. He is the architect of your faith in God. He is going to direct everything you need to release your faith into. You will not understand why something is important, but he does. He will confirm the truth through the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 1 on spiritual maturity, on page 9, Joseph Hedgecott writes, am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I spend very little time in the flesh. If I make a mistake, I repent quickly. I ask the Lord to show me how Satan and my flesh were able to lead me astray. I ask for a divine revelation about how to keep from making that mistake again. I do not want my flesh to have any power over me, so I maintain the attitude that my flesh is the enemy. This may seem impossible to you, where you are now, but this is God's standard. It will never change. If the flesh was destroyed in me, it can be destroyed in you. Look to Jesus and believe what he started in you through conviction he will finish. You are not the author of your faith, but you were given faith to believe in his plan and deny yourself. Those who are ready for his appearing have crucified the flesh by making Jesus Lord. They have some fruit too, and are not tempted to do anything vainglorious. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in introduction on page 7, Joseph Hedgecott writes, with God's anointing comes everything you need to obey what he has authorized. But you must believe this truth for it to work. Whatever God commands you to do, he gives you authorization for it to be done. In other words, everything you need, he provides. But this must be activated by faith. Then you must carry out his instructions in the Spirit as you give the glory, the credit due to him for what he does through you. God can do a mighty work through a broken vessel. In Christ, all things are possible. He also gets the glory. Grace is there for you to make mistakes and learn. This is a point where many get stuck trying to change themselves by works rather than submit to the Holy Spirit. David said in the Psalms, chapter 51. I'm reading verses 1 all the way to verse 11. This is the Psalms, chapter 51, starting in verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Find time to repent. With his help, learn to hear and obey God, trusting him with your life completely. This includes trusting him with the emotions and feelings you need to follow Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Make no provisions for the flesh. Jesus is our example in the way that he trusted his Father to save him while serving the whole of the human race by dying on the cross. Because of him, you can also become a son and a servant of God. Start serving, because in the kingdom, everyone is a servant. If you're hurting and devouring and destroying others, something's wrong. The best solution for sin is to prevent it. Do not have any confidence in the flesh. You can stop feeding the flesh by obeying the Spirit. The devil will try his best to make you comfortable through your flesh again. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 5, on Work Out Your Salvation, on page 86, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you use your notebook from Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, effectively, you will be set free from sin, satanic traps and hindrances every day. This is the very definition of working out your salvation daily. If you do not allow God to save you from the devil's traps on a regular basis, then you are not obeying Philippians 2:12. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit for all those who are making no excuses for disobedience. You will miss God if you listen to your natural feelings and emotions. If you listen to your own mind, opinions and ideas, you'll miss opportunity to obey God with simple childlike faith. Those abiding in Christ are looking forward to the time when they will serve Jesus as he begins to rule and reign on this earth. They do not experience condemnation now because they are in Christ, following the dictates of the Spirit instead. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, this is Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul had done things directed by the Spirit. He has also fought diligently to use his faith for everything, rather than going back to his own reasoning and making decisions himself every day. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight, and I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Timothy 4:8 says, as to what remains henceforth, there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness, for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and recompense me on that great day. And not to me only, but also to those who have loved and yearned for and welcomed his appearing, his return. Paul had already met Jesus briefly on the road to Damascus and humbled himself. He had to repent for persecuting the saints, but got grace and mercy. He was fighting the conviction as he oversaw the killing of Stephen, deceived by his own stony religious heart. After his conversion, Paul went through a transformation. He immediately started following Christ by the Spirit. He stopped listening to his own opinions, lost all confidence in his abilities, and repented of dead works and religious zeal. Jesus is now coming back for the bride. Paul called himself the chief of sinners, but he used the grace of God for repentance to get ready. Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove in Strong's is number 1651, of uncertain affinity to confute, admonish, convict, convince, tell a fault, rebuke, and reprove. The Spirit will convict, tell a fault, and confront you about any hidden agenda you may have in your heart while following Christ. On the narrow way, the Spirit will help by grieving in your spirit when you're about to do something that is contrary to the truth. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The grieving of the Holy Spirit is the boundary marker for the perfect will of God for your life in thought, purpose, and action. The day of redemption is the day when you die physically or the day when he appears, whichever comes first. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, I'm reading. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul said that all those abiding in Christ will be ready. The lies you still believe can get you out unexpectedly. You have an opportunity now to remove any lies you still believe with the help of the Holy Spirit. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 to 29, I'm reading, This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 25. And this is the promise, that he has promised us even eternal life. Verse 26. And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Take time to repent of anything God shows you now. Conviction is a blessing. Repentance is not just confessing your sin. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 9, on the importance of lordship, on page 149, Joseph Hitchcock writes, you may know the benefits of Jesus' lordship and the consequences of your own lordship, yet he is not your Lord. If he is not your Lord, you need to deal with the reasons he is not. This is another reason to keep your notebook current as you seek the Lord for answers. Your goal should be that Jesus is Lord of your life all of the time. Some carnal Christians cannot understand why Jesus did not lock up the devil. They struggle and want deliverance from their sinful habits. God could have locked up the devil after Jesus defeated him on the cross 2,000 years ago. However, if you're really following Christ and led by the Spirit, then you're living a life free from the devil now. The devil has no access to those who are controlled by the Spirit. In the kingdom, there is glory and honor for servants of God who are led by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 and 14, this is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's only through the flesh that the devil can get access and cause you to serve the misery of sin once again. Jesus referred to a remedy for some fiery serpents that were biting the Jews in the wilderness when he was speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14. This is John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Jewish nation did not appreciate God's chastening and taking them into the wilderness. They were to be like sheep with him as their shepherd. They had a high calling. They were to be a light to the rest of the world in terms of righteousness, and learn some important lessons in the wilderness. We read in Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9. This is Numbers chapter 21. I'm reading verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. Verse 9. And then Moses made a serpent of brass and put upon it a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Jesus compared what he was going to do on the cross to Moses lifting up the pole with a serpent in the wilderness. Jesus was going to be made sin for all those who realized that they had sinned terribly against God. This example shows us the goodness and the severity of God. Jesus paid the price for the sins of all mankind. Moses had to make a pole and a serpent of brass in the wilderness. You can rely on the forgiveness of sin any time, but this part of God's grace is for you to come to repentance and break sinful habits. Complaining is a sin unto death. Confess your sins and afterwards repent and make no excuses if you're born again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word mourn in Strong's is number 3996. It means from another word, which means to grieve. The act of feeling bad, mourn or wail. If he corrects you, repent and even grieve and weep and mourn over your sins. You will be comforted because you are learning through your mistakes, using the grace of God. The meek will rule and reign with Christ. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. This is Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. I'm reading verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Noah Webster in 1820 defined meek like this. Number one, mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. Number two, appropriately humble in an evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will, not proud, self-sufficient or refractory, not peevish, and apt to complain of divine dispensations. Those who are meek do not complain against God or the changes in their circumstances. They believe God is in control. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Someone said that there are some things you cannot get God's permission to do, but you can get his forgiveness later. This is the heart belief among many carnal Christians, but it's not the truth. Do not open a door to sin by having a confidence in your flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When you're doing something without asking God, then you are following your own plans and opening a door to becoming a slave to sin again. There is a sin of commission that brings a curse. There is also the sin of omission, failing to do something that you will have to do later because you are not in the Spirit at the time. Paul was aware that serving anything else could hinder him from being controlled by the Spirit. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God is faithful. He's not harsh. He's not condemning you now. He wants you to come to repentance. God makes sure everyone reaps what they sow. This reaping is so they can realize that they are in the flesh if necessary and repent before it's too late. If you do sin, he can make an exception for a higher purpose, but the exception never becomes the rule, as otherwise God lied. We read in Numbers 23 and verse 19. This is Numbers chapter 23. I'm reading verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good? In practice, God often delays the consequences of sowing to the flesh, so you have more time to repent, but time is running out. God is faithful to his word, but he has provided the means for you to live in the Spirit, hear his voice, and get back in the Spirit immediately and repent. This promise is available to all those who are born again. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If you're tempted to believe that God will not forgive you again and again, then remember, Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world, not just your sin. The purpose of God's forgiveness is to give you ears to hear the wisdom he provides so that you can live like his son did on this earth, doing the will of the Father and live with him forever. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, I'm reading all the way to verse 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that we may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also with the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, be aware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Peter was aware of the goodness and the severity of God. You grow spiritually using the grace to repent of whatever God shows you and learn. Be content with what God is showing you now and be faithful. Peter said some were trying to appreciate truth without conviction. He said those trying to understand the things of God using their natural mind pervert the truth, deceive themselves, and reap what they sow. They are doomed to destruction because they're wrestling with the scriptures rather than relying on the witness of the Spirit to come to the truth. We read in Jeremiah chapter 7, 23 and 24. This is Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm reading verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Verse 24. But when they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Having a confidence in our own abilities is going backwards spiritually. When you humble yourself and obey, you go forwards. After you humble yourself, you may not repent deeply, which is needed, and still believe a lie that you can serve God and mammon. When you go backwards and forwards all the time, you don't grow spiritually. He is coming for those walking by faith, using the gift of eternal life, proving the will of God by the Spirit. Every born-again Christian should be looking forward to Jesus' coming. However, Paul was writing about the Jews in the wilderness in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Paul explained the devil is not the problem. Carnal Christians trying to serve two masters is the problem. They are easily drawn away by the lust of the flesh. Many have deceived themselves because actually their heart is evil and full of unbelief. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 5, on practical steps to fellowship with God, on pages 64 to 65, Joseph Hedgecott writes, many believers don't really know what they do to get in the Spirit when they find themselves there. They go to church and praise the Lord. They forget about everything else in their lives for a few moments. It would be easy to assume that praising God moves you into the Spirit, but it is actually because they're confessing Jesus as their Lord and bowing before Him. For that moment, they stop being Lord of their lives and submit everything to Jesus as their Lord. Then, as soon as the service is over, they take over the Lordship again and lose the peace of God that is resident when Jesus is Lord. They are moved in the Spirit by what I call divine herding. They get in the right atmosphere and are herded into the Spirit without any real understanding of how they got there. Unfortunately, they get herded back out of the Spirit just as easily. It seems they end up on a cattle drive, spending all their time running up and down the trail between the two natures. In fact, some of you have trail ruts 4 feet deep between the two natures because you keep running back and forth between them. You need to stop this habit. People make a habit out of going between two natures. They may even think that they're getting the best of both worlds. They may excuses for the carnal nature because they do not see that the narrow way leads to life. They end up being lukewarm, deceiving themselves and others. They humble themselves each time. However, God said he gets weary with repenting of his judgments, and that's when grace runs out. We read in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 6, Thou hast forsaken me, says the Lord, and thou art gone backwards Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on pages 200 to 201, Joseph Hedgecott writes, a root or foundational work has to be done deeply by its very definition. The work cannot be done if your repentance is shallow and you merely want the conviction to stop. The length of time it takes for this work to be done is directly proportional to how quickly and thoroughly you repent of what a truth exposes in you. God is not corrupt. His judgments are justified. He's always right when he speaks. He balances everything and includes motive and attitude. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and those who believe, trust, cling to and rely on him are sheep, even if they're lambs to start with. If you've been making excuses for your sin, start by confessing your sin and do not resist conviction. You'll only defend lies because you will not deal with your own flesh. The condemnation you experience in the flesh is evidence that judgment will come on all those who do not repent and respond to chastening. You choose which judgment you face. The best judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Resisting conviction is calling God a liar, and that is not the truth. If you need all the evidence, then this will take place at the last great judgment called the Great White Throne that is reserved for the world. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. This is Revelation chapter 20. I'm reading verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 11, on Making Judgments, on page 191, Joseph Hedgecott writes, each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If we have not deleted our files of judgments through repentance, every file, including those against him, will be brought up in his court. This includes every thought, reason, and evidence we believe to be true. He will then present his evidence in his court, and his evidence will prove that every piece of your evidence is false. You have no excuse for what you did. You will stand at the mercy of the judge. If your files were accurate against him, maybe you'll be excused, but every single accusation would be proven false, and at that time there will be no place for repentance. You'll be judged as guilty and suffer eternal loss. If you try to make out that God is a liar, not fair, or that he does not have all the evidence, then you're choosing the last great judgment instead, when the books are opened. Choose wisely. Humble yourself. You're his child. God loves you. The judgment seat of Christ is the best choice. If God resists you, it's because he loves you and you're not choosing wisely. Conviction will never stop in God's presence until you become like Christ. You are his workmanship in Christ. And through Jesus, you are part of God's plan for glory. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You are called to be what God wants you to be. He molds you and decides things, not based on preferences of your flesh. Conviction is a blessing that starts when you get in Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, you will only be judged on what God has shown you already by the Spirit. And those who repent and keep repenting will be saved from the second death and be in the first resurrection. You need to hate your flesh and not listen to it anymore. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 to 32. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The ongoing conviction of the Holy Spirit is the assurance that you may not be judged with the world. Through repentance, you can have the righteousness of God by faith now, if you submit to the chastening of the Holy Spirit. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm reading verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 8, Joseph Hedgecott writes, my advice to you is to keep it simple. Do not complicate what the Lord reveals to you. With revelation comes anointing. This includes conviction as well. When God speaks to you, he provides the anointing, the authorization with the word to do what he says. Do not prejudge how you think the Holy Spirit should manifest to you and in you. Do not be discouraged if you do not sense a dramatic flow of his presence. He may choose to manifest in peace, joy, comfort, conviction, or any number of other ways. Be content with how he chooses to manifest. As time goes on, you will experience his presence in many diverse ways. When this becomes a way of life for you, as it should, you will no longer be tempted by anything this world, your flesh, or the enemy has to offer. God in his love has started the judgment early for his saints through the work of the Holy Spirit so that you can wake up to righteousness and repent. This may involve some discomfort or suffering. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The grace is there for repentance. Those abiding in Christ use the grace to learn from their mistakes. They see pressures and corrections as blessings so that they can change before the last day. Many will be surprised. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 13, on page 210, Joseph Hedgecott writes, conviction and repentance play a big part in becoming spiritual, and this work should be embraced. Conviction should be processed in the presence of God. He convicts you because it's time to deal with a particular area. He does not convict you because he's angry or disappointed with you. When conviction is processed at the Holy Spirit's direction, grace should continue to flow. However, the moment you begin resisting this work, communing with God stops. David had faith that God could do a deep purging in his life so that he could be ready. He believed that God would make a way for him to walk with God and restore the fellowship he experienced by grace. In the Amplified Bible, Psalm 51 and verse 7 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me therefore to know wisdom in my inmost heart. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean ceremonially. Wash me, and I shall in reality be whiter than snow." The purging that David could do himself was ceremonial, but he was seeking a spiritual washing from God. He knew God wanted truth in the inward parts, because inward righteousness and true repentance includes outward righteousness. David got all the godly wisdom he needed through repentance from his sin and changed. You can say you're sorry, but it might only be worldly sorrow. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm reading verse 10. "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Verse 11. "For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." You will clear yourself with God's help, going through the process of repentance. This will include a fresh fear of God, a vehement desire for truth, a holy indignation at sin, and a determination to put things right with God. Paul had written to the Corinthians about their sin, and they responded positively to the correction he was bringing. This change came from a godly sorrow, because the Corinthians had a heart after God and not after the things of the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 7, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 6 and 7, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "Many Christians dream of being anointed by God and having the Holy Spirit abiding in them, directing and manifesting through them. They want to see Him do miraculous works through them. But very few see this happen. Those who do see it do not see it very often. I ask you, what are you most interested in? Are you focused on God's anointing manifesting in you, or are you more interested in the type of work He does through you? If the miraculous manifestations of the Spirit are more important to you than having a consistent anointing from God on your life, then your priorities are wrong. The decision you made at salvation was true in your heart and acceptable to God if you received the Spirit of truth at that time. God is the judge of every man's heart. The Holy Spirit came to help you to be one of His children based on truth, with Jesus as the functional Lord of your life. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Verse 21. "If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The word purge in Strong's means literally to cleanse thoroughly or purge out. Purging is not just saying I'm sorry. You need to be purged through repentance from works that are dishonorable. If you've repented of dead works, that purging has begun already. However, don't go back to the flesh, because you'll contaminate yourself again and not be used by the Lord to do any and every good work. Purging is so that you can be used for the purpose that God planned for your life. The purging requires you to be faithful in stages, serving others. There's no shortcut to holiness. Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10, this is in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Some are unwilling to be faithful because they do not see the need to be a servant first in the kingdom. But any servant in the kingdom of God is greater in rank than being a king or a dictator in this world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 20, starting in verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be the great among you, let him be your minister. Verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, at the end of Chapter 12, on Escaping the Snares of Satan, on page 210, Joseph Edgecott writes, review these important instructions for the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1. Number 1, read Volume 1 from cover to cover. Do not try to figure anything out with your natural mind. Number 2, highlight or underline anything the Holy Spirit bears witness to you as you read through it. Number 3, write down each item you marked in your notebook, making each one a topic for one page. Let the Holy Spirit show you the truth about each topic. Number 4, complete your notebook by including details about each truth the Lord shows you. Do not be discouraged if you need a large notebook. This shows you have the opportunity to be free from many hindrances. Number 5, let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth about each topic. Number 6, embrace repentance as you process each topic while in the Spirit. Give Satan no opportunity to condemn you. Judgment has already started for all those who are part of the body of Christ now. It starts when you get in Christ and includes leaders and does not stop until you become like him. Every leader should be a servant, but do not judge those over you. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 2 to 5, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, on page 96, Joseph Edgecott writes, as you work on your notebook from Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, you have a wonderful opportunity to learn God's standards. As the Holy Spirit reveals hindrances in you, do what he tells you to do. As you repent, the Lord will cover your other sin by grace until it's time for the Holy Spirit to address it. You will continue to abide in the kingdom because God sees the fullness of your decision to love and obey him. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Everything you can repent of now equates to eternal gain. God is not trying to bring evidence to condemn you. He knows you're a sinner. He knows when you're going to sin, even before you do it. And he still loves you. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 15 to 21. This is John chapter 3, starting in verse 15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The best option is to be honest and live in the light. Use the grace of God now for repentance, and you'll get wisdom too. God is actually trying to save you from yourself and get you to depend on the Holy Spirit for everything. This will also prepare you for eternity. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 40. This is Acts chapter 2. I'm reading verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 12, on Escaping the Snares of Satan, on pages 203 to 204, Joseph Edgecott writes, when you get victory over lies, write them down with the dates to confirm you shut the door to Satan's work. Go to your notebook and from time to time make sure you are maintaining your repentance. You may need to repeat this process several times before it's consistent in your life. You have nothing to fear with God. He is love. And if you come to God, you have to believe he is love and does not want anyone to perish. Rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth and repent. You can start now with God and set yourselves free through regular repentance and be ready for his appearing. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Edgecott. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Edgecott. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Edgecott. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Edgecott. Today I've shared with you about the judgment seat of Christ. This is a wonderful, positive judgment. It's all about God trying to reward you for faithfulness. We're on this earth to bring glory to God. And one of the ways we can do that is to live on the narrow way and show that the devil has no foothold in our lives, that we will not sin, that we will humble ourselves, that we will listen to his voice and continue to follow the path he has set for us in righteousness. What a life, what a privilege to shine for Jesus now. And as you're on that narrow path, as you accept that narrow way, your life is going to shine so much for him. And when it comes to his appearing, it will be just a twinkling of an eye. You won't even notice the fact that you're just like him because you've been following him. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you right now. Father in heaven, if there's anyone listening to this video who's afraid of you and doesn't believe that what I'm talking about is even possible, Father, I pray that you would reveal to them any area where they are desiring the things of this world, holding on to the things of this world, and let go and realize that you can do all things by faith. And Father, I pray that they would lay themselves before you and let you do the work from now on and respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If they've lost that tender heart, Father, I pray if they will reach out to you right now, soften their heart, that they can have a new life with you, trusting you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for listening. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.